Yalla Leap Podcast.
Yalla Leap Podcast.
Covering all the latest news and results from the AEW.
In a minute. Sean Spears. Chair shot right to the side of the head of Cody.
This is pro wrestling analysis as you've never heard before.
Deathly Hallows!
Might be it.
One, two, three, can save it!
Coming to you every single week. So without any further delay, let's go all in and get the show started right now.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to this week's edition of the All Elite Podcast right here on the WWE Podcast. My name is Jeff Johnson. I am your host. Guys, this is going to be a very interesting week of Dynamite this week. As with everything else kind of going on around the world, it's going to be shown live in an empty arena in Jacksonville. They were originally supposed to be somewhere else this week in Rochester, I think, but the show got moved. It is now going to be in an empty arena in Jacksonville. And I give AEW a lot of credit for going forward with this because they didn't have to. They could have went the same direction kind of everybody else is going. But like the WWE, they're finding a way to put the product out there to give fans some kind of entertainment in this very trying time. And with that being said also, guys, I hope all y'all are being safe. I hope you guys are taking all your precautions and everything you need to stay away from this coronavirus going around. Make sure you guys just stay quarantined, stay safe, stay healthy, and do whatever you guys need to do to make it through this. So, thoughts to all you guys, and especially to those that are infected right now. Everybody just be safe. Just be safe and wash your hands. That's the most important thing. All right, well, like I said, they are going to be in Jacksonville this week. There is a couple of things announced for the show. We are going to get the Elite versus the Inner Circle in a six-man tag team match. They did announce that it's going to be Jake Hager and Santana and Ortiz versus Matt Jackson, Cody, and Hangman Page. So this is going to be a very interesting match this week, especially with everything going on between Hangman and Matt Jackson. You know, are they going to be able to coexist? You know, will they be able to get through this six-man tag? And whoever wins this is going to have the advantage in the Blood and Guts match next week, which thankfully is still going on as well per AEW. So that's a big match. It's probably going to be the main event this week. But we're also getting what people are considering the biggest thing of the night, and that is the reveal of the Exalted One when it comes to the Inner Circle. There's been rumors. There's been talk for weeks, months now about who the Exalted One is going to be. You know, I have who I think it's going to be, which is the obvious one that everybody else is saying, and that's Matt Hardy. That's who I'm expecting it to be. I would be surprised if it was anybody else, but it could be. You know, AEW, they tend to throw some surprises out there. They tend to get you thinking one way and then go in a different direction. Matt Hardy especially is known for that. He does that all the time. So that's going to be another big thing on the show this week. Besides that, guys, it's going to be a very interesting show, very different than anything we've ever seen before. You know, AEW is known for their crowds and how loud they are and how energetic they are. But this week, AEW is going to be doing it without a crowd. So it's going to be strictly the talent in the ring. It's going to be a different show, guys. It's going to be a very different show than you guys have seen before. Of course, as you guys listen to this, you've already watched it, of course. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be a very fun show, and we're going to break it down match by match, segment by segment, and you know, let's see what AEW has in store for us this week. Real quick, guys, before we get started, I do want to say, if you guys haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the WWE Podcast on all of your podcasting platforms, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, wherever you guys get your podcasts. Make sure you guys subscribe to the WWE Podcast on all of those platforms, and check out all the other shows on this podcast. Everybody works really hard. Everybody does a great job, and they're some of the best shows that I've listened to. So make sure you guys do that, and you guys will get every show as soon as they drop. So without further ado, guys, let's get into this week's edition of AEW Dynamite. The show starts in the arena with Cody Rhodes standing in the middle of the ring. There's a spotlight on him, and you can't really see a whole lot into the crowd, but you can tell that the crowd is empty, that it's just him out there. It was a very interesting start to the show. Cody cut a promo very, very serious at first, talking about, you know, everything going around in the world with the coronavirus and everybody staying safe and how Dynamite is still going to be there to entertain everybody and try to be, I guess, in a way, kind of a distraction. I'm speaking not word for word what he said, but pretty much saying that they're going to be there for the fans. And even though the fans can't be there in person, that they're going to, you know, do everything they can to entertain everybody on TV. But after this is when the promo really picked up. He started talking about his fellow Elite members, especially Matt Jackson, Kenny Omega, and Hangman Page. He told Matt that there pretty much wouldn't be a Dynamite without them, an AEW without him and Tony Khan, that he is one of the main cogs of this, and that he needs Matt to be, you know, pretty much completely focused and in this match with the Inner Circle later on tonight. And then he moved on to Kenny Omega. And this is where the promo really stood out for me personally, because he talked about how he and Kenny have never really seen eye to eye, which if you guys have followed Being the Elite over the years, you've seen that. And even when everybody was in New Japan, you saw that as well, that Cody and Kenny have always kind of had their issues. But this is the first time Cody's really mentioned it on Dynamite. But he looked right in the camera and said that I need the Kenny Omega that we haven't gotten yet. We need the one that's the number one wrestler in the world, you know, the one that puts on the five-star matches pretty much. I was hoping he'd use the line that we need the cleaner, because I know that's what a lot of people have said, and I've said that myself, that we've been waiting for the cleaner Kenny Omega to show up in AEW, which, of course, you know, I'm a huge Kenny Omega fan. He's one of my favorite wrestlers in the world. But, you know, we haven't seen that super aggressive Bullet Club style Kenny Omega here in AEW, even though he has had some incredible matches. So that's what Cody was saying he was looking for Kenny. And after this, Matt Jackson and Kenny actually came to the ring, and Kenny cut a promo about everybody being together and how, you know, they're going to try to triumph through this. But then they started questioning about Hangman Page, and Cody said, or it was Matt, I'm sorry, Matt said that he looked around but didn't see Hangman anywhere. Hangman wasn't out there with them. And he wondered where Hangman was. Well, Hangman came out to the stage. He had a drink in his hand, of course. And they pretty much asked him, are you with us on this, in this match? Well, Hangman really didn't say anything. He just kind of stuck his glass up in saying, yes, I'm with you guys. I have your back no matter what. And, you know, Matt Jackson cut a really good promo here towards Hangman, saying that they've had their issues and it's not going to be taken care of tonight. It's not going to be taken care of by Blood and Guts. But, you know, down the road, you know, hopefully they can. But he said that they need Hangman in the match tonight and in the match next week for Blood and Guts. And Hangman showed his support by toasting the glass to him. So it does look like the Elite is more on a similar page tonight than they have been in the last couple of weeks, which is good, because we've seen the Inner Circle standing tall the last few weeks, and they're the ones that have shown that they're in unison. They're ready for the six-man tag tonight, and they're ready for the Blood and Guts match next week. So it was good to see a little bit of unison between the Elite, but it's not 100% yet. And they made a note it's not 100% yet, that there's still some issues there. So the match later on is going to be very, very interesting about how everybody works together and if the Elite can stick together to defeat the Inner Circle. So after this, we got our first match of the night. It was a tag team match pitting the Best Friends versus the Lucha Brothers. And this has been one of my favorite rivalries so far in the company, because they've been going back and forth for a while now. Ever since the Lucha Bros kind of moved on from SCU, they went straight towards the Best Friends. And, you know, now that Pac is involved with the Lucha Bros making the Death Triangle, and now in Orange Cassidy's with the Best Friends, this six-man feud has been very, very entertaining. And this match was no exception. It was really weird, guys. You know, I've watched SmackDown and Raw this past week with nobody in the arena, and it was very odd. And this was the same. It's taken a little bit getting used to. It's very difficult. But One thing AEW has done that's kind of softened the blow, and I think this is a great decision, is they've put some of the talent in the crowd. They've got the heels on one side, they've got some of the baby faces on the other side. Well, on the heel side, they have MJF and Shawn Spears out there making bets and placing money on matches. And then about halfway through the match, Jake Roberts and Lance Archer showed up. And they made the match so much better. The match was great as it was. But I gotta mention MJF before anything, because he was loud this entire match. He was saying stuff to the guys in the crowd or in the ring, being supportive of the heels, but he was hilarious, some of the stuff that he was saying. So it added another element to this. And then on the babyface side, you had guys like SCU and Colt Cabana and guys like that on that side cheering for the faces. So it was cool. It was a cool dynamic, and I think it was very, very smart of them to do this, because it does add a little bit of extra noise to the match, and it makes it easier on the announcers too, because the announcers don't have to stop or don't have to talk nonstop trying to block out what would normally be the crowd reaction, that they're getting a little help from the talent. But this match was really good. It was very back and forth. Orange Cassidy was on commentary. He got involved a little bit towards the end and hit a dive on the Lucha Bros behind, you know, when the ref was distracted. But it's actually the Lucha Bros that got the victory here. They hit the double stomp package pile driver for the victory. And after the match, the Best Friends cut a promo on top of the stage with Tony Schiavone and said that they wanted the Death Triangle in a legit street fight next week. And they said they wanted it either actually in a street or even in a parking lot. So we're going to get a 3-on-3 street fight next week on Dynamite, and I'm really excited about that. So, you know, they're living up to the whole blood and guts thing, obviously, because we're getting the War Games match that's not called a War Games match, but we're also getting this street fight between the Best Friends and the Death Triangle. So that match is going to be absolutely awesome. I can't wait for it. But overall, great opening segment and a great match to open up on a very, very weird but very interesting episode of Dynamite. So next up, we got a four-corner match in the women's division pitting Penelope Ford versus Hikaru Shida versus Riho versus Chris Statlander. This was a fun match. It started off kind of interesting because Chris Statlander and Hikaru Shida was working together on both Riho and Penelope Ford, kind of going back to their tag team match last week. But eventually, of course, you know, as all four-way matches go, they end up fighting each other. And the match, it started off a little bit slow. Everyone was kind of getting their stuff in a little bit. But towards the end, about the last quarter of the match, it really picked up. And everybody had a very, very good showing in it. There is one spot in here that kind of scared me a little bit. And what it was is Penelope Ford went to the top rope, jumped off to land on the shoulders of Chris Statlander to do a Hurricane Rana. But unfortunately, I think it seemed like she overjumped her a little bit, and she landed kind of awkwardly on Chris Statlander, and she fell to the mat, talking about Penelope Ford, and she landed very, very hard. It was kind of a scary moment, and you could tell the announcers were a little worried about it too. And but thankfully she was able to get up and she finished the match, and she looked like she was okay. But the match was good. Like I said, the last quarter of it so was very, very good. It was very well done. Everybody looked incredible. But it was actually Hikaru Shida that ended up getting the victory, which, if you guys have been following her over the last, I guess since the beginning of the year or so, she's been on fire. She's won, I think they said, 5 of her last 6 going into this one, and then now this one, so 6 of her last 7. And she's actually ranked number 1 in the rankings for an AEW Women's Championship match. So it looks like Hikaru Shida is going to be the next person to challenge AEW Women's Champion Nyla Rose for the title, which, me personally, I am very happy to see that, because I am a big Hikaru Shida fan. I've always thought she was very, very good in the company, but I also thought she was overlooked a little bit, especially during the launch of Dynamite when they were first starting to build the women's division. They were focusing on other people, which I understand, you can only focus on so many people at a time, but I'm glad to see Shida's finally getting her just due, and she's really starting to shine, because she's very, very good in the ring. She, you know, puts on a great show. She's a great professional wrestler just all around. So when and if the match happens with her and Nyla Rose, I think it's going to be a very good match, because Nyla Rose, I mentioned last week, is really improving as well. She's doing very, 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 very well as the champion. and being a dominant monster too also helps. So Sheena's going to go in that match as the underdog, but I think that's where she strives the best. So that's, I'm looking forward to if and when, or not if, I almost can guarantee that match is going to happen, but the match is going to be great once it does. Well, after the match was over, Tony Schiavone interviewed Colt Cabana, who was sitting ringside, like I mentioned, and he was talking about the women's match and how he's 2-0 right now and how everything's going really well in AEW. But he mentioned Penelope Ford. He said he was very impressed with Penelope Ford, how she had a great showing, but she needs to not let Kip Sabian get involved in her matches so much. Which I didn't mention during the match. Kip Sabian got involved like 6 times during the match. I mean, he was involved pretty much the entire time and kept getting knocked off the apron. He got clubbed in the face by Sheeta and Chris Statlander during the match. So he was very, very involved throughout the entire thing. But Penelope still wasn't able to get the victory. It was Sheeta. But as Colt was giving this interview, Kip Sabian overheard him talking and pretty much told Colt to stay out of his business. And if he wanted to fight, then he would. Of course, Colt kind of just, you know, played it off and said, yeah, whatever. And Colt slapped him in the face. And it was kind of funny because all the baby faces were sitting around Colt. And they just were kind of like, oh, you know, what had happened. It was really funny. And Kip didn't fight back. He grabbed Penelope and walked and kind of cowered away and walked up the stairs. So I guess this is the start of something, hopefully, between Colt Cabana and Kip Sabian. Because I'm a big Sabian fan. And as everybody knows, he won the very first match in the history of AEW by winning the one-on-one match with Sammy Guevara during the kickoff of Double or Nothing last year. So, and I was very impressed with him when I saw him against Guevara. But Sabian really hasn't done a whole lot since then. He's had a couple of matches here and there, but never really any long-term storyline. I thought they were going to go with something with him and Joey Janela, which I thought was a perfect fit, seeing the history between Joey Janela and Penelope Ford. But it looks like that's kind of ran its course. It looks like that one's done, and we're moving on to Sabian and Cabana, which is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great feud. You know, natural babyface versus a cocky heel, and, you know, Penelope Ford will do her thing and get involved. So that's going to be a good feud, and it's good for both guys because Cabana's still new to the company, and it gives Kip Sabian a good feud with somebody that's known, somebody that's relevant, because obviously Colt Cabana is known throughout the world, you know, through his years and years of wrestling and his podcasts and everything. You know, everybody knows who Colt Cabana is. So this is a good feud for both guys. I think this is a great fit. And, you know, I'm curious to see where they go with it, if they do. Like I said, there wasn't a whole lot to go off of with this, but it was something. So I hope it is, and I hope this is a feud that we see very soon and also down the road. Next up, we got another tag team match pitting the Jurassic Express versus the Butcher and the Blade. This is a match that they had announced earlier this week, and this is another feud that's been going on for a little while now. There's definitely a lot of good storylines, especially between tag teams. The tag team division, as has been known for AEW for a while now, is just completely on fire. Every tag team just has some kind of significant value, and it's really, really good to see that as a fan of tag team wrestling. This match was another very, very good match, and one person I want to talk about real quick, though, is Jungle Boy. He's really started transforming his look a lot. He's put on some size, but he still has kept his speed and kept how crisp he is in the ring. And it's hard to imagine that this guy is only 23 years old and just doing the stuff that he does in the ring. I feel like personally, Jungle Boy is going to be a huge, huge star. I don't know if he can be a huge star with the Jungle Boy gimmick. I don't know if that's a gimmick that has a whole lot of legs. It might be something he has to get away from eventually. But for now, it definitely works. And I am so impressed with this guy. Just the stuff that he does, the way he moves around the ring, his timing. I'm going to be using him and MJF as examples quite a bit just because of how young they both are. And the fact that they're both so good so early in their career at such a young age. And, of course, they're two completely different style wrestlers, with MJF being more of the ground guy and, you know, his charisma standing out and everything. Of course, he's a great athlete, too. We've seen that with singles matches between the two guys. But Jungle Boy, the way he moves, the way he does everything is just so impressive. And the combination of him and Luchasaurus is perfect because Luchasaurus is, you know, the big guy, but also has, you know, some decent movement to him. And they're one of my favorite teams in the company. And they had a really good match here with the Butcher and the Blade. The Butcher and the Blade are really growing on me, too. It took me a little bit longer than most people to get on the bandwagon with these guys because I think it was kind of part of how they debuted, which they kind of just debuted out of nowhere, didn't know who they were. And it took a little bit of development for me to kind of get behind them. Very similar to the Dark Order, which the Dark Order kind of debuted out of nowhere. People didn't know who they are, but they did a great job of building them into something significant. And I feel like the Butcher and the Blade are getting there as well. And they're also a great team. So, like I said, this was a fun match. Jungle Boy was isolated through most of it. Luchasaurus got a hot tag and just went absolutely crazy on everybody. But the Butcher and the Blade ended up getting the upper hand towards the end and had the match won. But as I mentioned earlier, MJF was in the crowd, and he told them pretty much to hit their finisher, that to do it right now to Jungle Boy. But what that did is that gave Luchasaurus time to get involved. And they were able to knock Butcher out of the ring. They hit their double team finisher and got the victory. So big victory for the Jurassic Express. Sorry. And I don't know if this is going to start any dissension between the Butcher and the Blade and MJF, because it was very well known that MJF costed them this match when they had it in control. And the announcers picked up on that too. I think it was Jim Ross that said that, that pointed out to everybody at home that it was MJF's fault that they lost this match. So I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be a start of something with them possibly, I don't know, turning face or just, you know, distancing themselves from MJF, or maybe it's just a one-off type thing. I don't know. But definitely some seeds being planted there of possibly a little bit of dissension between MJF and the Butcher and the Blade. No Bunny this week. I was kind of surprised. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure where she's at or what's going on with her. And also, I didn't mention earlier, no Justin Roberts this week either. Brandi Rhodes is actually doing the commentary, which I know she's against doing commentary because she did it for so long in WWE. But she's very good at it. And she's a natural. You could tell she's had a lot of practice and she's done it for a while. So Brandi Rhodes did a great job commentating on this show. But when it comes to the match itself, it was another very good match. Big win for Jurassic Express, and I expect them to start moving up the rankings soon. You know, they went all the way through 2019 without a victory, but they've really started picking it up in 2020, and I think they've won five of their last eight, something like that is what they said on the graphic. So I see big things for Jurassic Express this year, and I don't know if they're, you know, who they're going to face once they get in that title contention. I would be kind of surprised if it was Kenny and Hangman still by that point, just because of developing factors, and, you know, it would be a face team versus a face team. So I kind of expect a heel tag team to have the titles by the time Jurassic Express is there. But it would not surprise me if by the end of 2020, Jurassic Express held those tag team titles, because they're great, they get great reactions, and they're just a fun team altogether. So next on the docket, we got the entrance of the Dark Order, consisting of Evil Uno and Stu Grayson. And this is the moment we have all been waiting for. Is this going to be the arrival of the Exalted One? Do we find out who it is? Well, we started the promo with Evil Uno telling us that the Exalted One is near, that he will be here. And, you know, he's over and over again saying he is near, he is near. Well, he ends up getting cut off by Christopher Daniels, who's in the crowd. You know, he and Kazarian. And Daniels pretty much tells Uno that you've been saying nothing but lies. You've done nothing for Reynolds and Silver since they joined. He's made their life completely difficult, and not anything, you know, nothing to make them any better or make their careers better. And then he also said that he does not believe that there is an Exalted One, and that it's a lie, and everything that Evil Uno and the rest of the Dark Order has said has been a lie. Well, as he's saying this, there's this weird music that starts and this video comes up on the screen, and you see this figure show up, and he says that he is the Exalted One, and he pretty much calls out Christopher Daniels specifically and says, "Chris, I am the Exalted One. I am real." And he removes his hood, and it's none other than Brody Lee, the former Luke Harper from the WWE. And I'm not going to lie, I marked out, guys. I marked out hard for this. I'm really excited that it's him. I know the rumors were that was Matt Hardy. I believed it was Matt Hardy, but a part of me also thought, okay, is it too obvious. Matt Hardy is an absolute genius at this stuff, as is AEW. They're very good about this stuff too, but Matt Hardy is just on a different level when it comes to this type of stuff. So obviously he was using the rumors to fuel different things, but it is Brody Lee that is the exalted one for the Dark Order. And he tells Chris, he said a line to Chris that I really liked. He said, Chris is not the only old guy that didn't believe in him, but he promises he will be the last, which is a direct shot at Vince McMahon, obviously. It was a good line. It got a little chuckle out of me. But he told Chris that he was coming. And then we go back to the arena. SCU's back is turned, and there's Brody Lee standing in the ring with Evil Uno and Stu Grayson. SCU turns around and gets just completely destroyed by these three guys. Brody Lee ends up hitting a discus clothesline on Christopher Daniels as Grayson and Uno double team on Kazarian. This was a lot of fun, guys. This segment was great. It was so well done. The video package was awesome. If you guys haven't had a chance, go back and watch this video package for Brody Lee, the Exalted One. Lee looked incredible. He looked in great shape. Man, it's so good to see him, because I've always been a huge fan of Brody Lee or Luke Harper, whatever you want to call him. And I'm one of the ones that believe that he was very undervalued and very underrated in WWE, and he wasn't ever quite used up to what his potential is. I did enjoy his tag teams with Rowan. I thought they were very good. I loved him in the Wyatt family, the original incarnation of it. But, you know, when it came to him kind of being on his own, they never really gave him that big opportunity. There was the one small time when he had that small feud with Bray Wyatt that we kind of saw what he could do, but they never really ran with it. And I think he is such an underutilized talent. I think this is a huge get for AEW. He's going to be great, and he brings a lot to the Dark Order. He adds a lot to them, makes them very, very relevant now. Even more so than they were, which I figured was going to happen no matter who it was, especially if it was somebody that's a well-known name, like a Brody Lee or a Matt Hardy or somebody like that. And that's what we got. And now the Dark Order is a group that's going to be feared. It's a group that people are going to look at and know that they are legitimate in anything that they do. You know, I mentioned earlier about the tag team titles and how, you know, I don't expect Kenny and Heyman to have it when they face Jurassic Express. I could see the Dark Order having it. I could see Grayson and Uno being the tag team champions, and that'd be who Jurassic Express feuds with later on down the year, because this is going to be the start of something big for the Dark Order, guys. And I think it was either Matt Jackson or Nick Jackson. It was one of the two Young Bucks late last year, early this year, said something about the Dark Order, that you guys are going to be impressed with what comes out of the Dark Order and what they have planned with the Dark Order. And this is the start of it, guys. And I'm very, very excited. I love how this whole thing was done. And Brody Lee, the Exalted One in AEW, I never thought I'd see it. I never, you know, I didn't think it was going to happen, but it has. And I couldn't be more happy. So it's main event time, guys. We got the Inner Circle consisting of Santana and Ortiz and Jake Hager taking on the Elite, which is represented by Cody Rhodes, Matt Jackson, and Hangman Page. There's a lot riding in on this match, because the winner of this will get the advantage heading into Blood and Guts. One thing I want to point out before we start this is, I didn't catch on to this earlier in the show, but the announcers were mentioning that everything that transpired tonight will impact a future Dynamite. They did not say next week, one point during this show. And I think that's kind of newsworthy, because I know the way everything's going right now, everything canceling and being postponed, you really don't know what's happening one week to the next. So I think this was a good plan by AEW to not say next week, because next week's not guaranteed when it comes to Dynamite, that they could have to push back Blood and Guts a few weeks. Hopefully they do have it next week, especially for the sake of this show, because it'd be kind of hard to do an AEW Dynamite podcast without an AEW Dynamite. So hopefully they do have the Blood and Guts next week. But I did want to point out that during the show, they did say multiple times on the next edition of Dynamite and did not mention next week. So hopefully that's not a prelude of their decisions of what's going to happen going forward, but more of just being safe, better safe than sorry type of situation. So With that being said, guys, this was another great match, a great main event. All six guys looked really good. The Inner Circle in particular, I thought, looked great in this match. They dominated, I'd say, about 75% of this match. A lot of it was the Elite on defense, and it just showed the cohesiveness and how together the Inner Circle is, where they were hitting double team moves, they were cutting off the ring, they wouldn't let the members of the Elite get involved, and it was mostly Cody that was in peril most of this match. He took a good portion of this. Hangman did end up getting a hot tag later on and cleaned house. He's still one of the hottest characters in the company right now. He's rocketing up instantly, which we kind of broke down and talked a lot about last week. But this was a great match, and all hell kind of broke loose towards the end. But Santana ended up getting a roll-up for the victory on, I think it was on Nick Jackson, if I'm not mistaken. Or, I keep saying Nick. Matt Jackson, I'm sorry, if I'm not mistaken, and got the victory for his team. And so the Inner Circle has the advantage heading into Blood and Guts. The newsworthy thing to come out of this, too, is that they were saying before the match started and during the match that the Elite are going to be on a 5-on-4 disadvantage. So they were playing it off as, with Nick Jackson being out indefinitely, he will not be in the Blood and Guts match, and it's going to be 5-on-4. And now the Inner Circle not only has that advantage, but they're also have the advantage of the match itself. By, you know, they'll have, you know, be, they have the 2-on-1, 3-on-2, 4-on-3 advantage throughout the match, and then 5-on-3, I guess, towards the end. Well, that's what the mindset was. That's what they wanted everybody to think. Jericho cut a promo on the stage, just running down the Elite. Sammy Guevara took a pot shot at Brandy, saying to, you know, come be with a real man because your man's a loser, as Cody's standing in the ring. But then we heard this weird noise, like, it was like this buzzing noise, and I couldn't tell what it was at first. And then all of a sudden, we see this drone show up. And for those of you that spend time online, spend time on YouTube, follow things going on in the wrestling world on YouTube, you knew exactly what this was as soon as you seen it. This was Vanguard 1, which is the drone, the security, I guess, for the Hardy compound for Matt Hardy. We saw the drone. You knew exactly what was going on. And Matt Jackson grabbed a mic and was kind of laughing. He said, you know, there's one thing, Chris, that you said that was wrong. That's we're at a disadvantage 5-on-4. It's going to be 5-on-5 because I made a phone call to somebody and he kind of owed me a favor. Then we hear this creepy piano music playing. The camera pans to, it was right in front of a luxury suite. And there is broken Matt Hardy, looking a little different without the white stripe in his hair, but with a red stripe in his hair. The black and red broken get up, doing the delete pose, pointing at each member of the Inner Circle, saying he will, you know, motioning that he will delete them. And the look on Chris Jericho's face was incredible. He played it off so well that he, and Taz even said it during this, that it looks like Chris Jericho had seen a ghost. And so we got the debut of Matt Hardy in AEW, and Excalibur and Taz both said, wow, Matt Hardy is in AEW. So Matt Hardy's here for the long run, and he's going to be a part of the Blood and Guts match as the fifth member of the Elite when this match happens. I'm shocked by this. I really am, because I thought it was going to be Moxley that was going to be in this match. I didn't mention earlier that Moxley, they did a quick backstage thing with Moxley from earlier in the day. He had tried to get in the arena, but he was told he couldn't be there because of his injuries. And Tony Schiavone caught him outside, and Moxley pretty much said, I'll do whatever I want and I won't be held out. But we didn't see him again the rest of the show. But the Matt Hardy thing is the most newsworthy thing to come out of this segment, is that it's going to be 5-on-5. The Elite's at full strength. There was a moment in the match that Matt Jackson and Hangman Page were on the same page, no pun intended. And so it looks like the Elite is starting to mend broken fences, and things are starting to head the right way. So when and if this match happens, which hopefully is next week, I know all you guys are hoping it's next week also, as in myself, it's going to be epic. This match is going to be absolutely insane. The Inner Circle does have the advantage when it comes to the match itself, which is the right thing to do, because you want the heels to have the advantage, to have the numbers. It just makes for a better War Games match. But we got the addition of Matt Hardy in this match, and I could not be happier the way that this was done. And, you know, overall, it was an awesome Dynamite. This was an incredible show. All things considered, with the no crowd and just, you know, the whole situation, everything going on in the world, this was a very, very fun wrestling show. I love the touch of having the workers, the other wrestlers in the crowd. MJF was a hoot the entire night. He was hilarious. Everything they did interaction-wise was so good. And I give AEW props. They held nothing back. They had all the pyro. They shot off the Buck Bucks whenever Matt came out. I mean, they went all out for this show, even though there was nobody in the crowd. And I'm so proud of AEW. I'm so proud of the production and what they did and the entertainment they brought to this show. And they didn't hold back the surprises because, you know, debuting Brody Lee, which this was originally supposed to be in Rochester, which is Brody Lee's hometown. And they were going to debut him as the Exalted One, I guess, obviously, in Rochester, and he would get a huge reaction. But they didn't hold back. Even though there was no fans, they still debuted him as the Exalted One, and on the same night, debuted Matt Hardy as well. They went all out. AEW put on an incredible show tonight. It's one of my favorite wrestling shows I've seen in a while, just as an individual wrestling show. This was a lot of fun, and you know, I'm curious what they're going to be doing next week or what they're going to be doing going forward. I know NXT is doing like a recap type show with some videos, packages, and stuff like that. I hope they get back on track too, because NXT is an incredible show, and Chris here on the WWE podcast does a great review of NXT, so make sure you guys check that out as well. But you know, as for AEW, they brought it tonight, and they gave us an incredible wrestling show. Hopefully we have something next week. If not, you know, we'll have something for you guys. You know, the WWE podcast is always going to put out something fun for you guys to do. We'll put our heads together and figure out. If not, you know, if we have blood and guts, then hey, I'll be here right back next week, guys, breaking down one of the biggest Dynamites in the history of the company with no audience. You know, a War Games type match. We have a street fight, which is going to be between the Lucha Bros and the Best Friends. So big, big match, big card, whenever this Blood and Guts happens. Hopefully it's next week. All right, guys, that's going to be it for me for tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. This was an absolute blast. Make sure you guys follow me on Twitter at RunWithTurtles. Like I said, it's a weird name, but there is a reasoning behind it. But I like to update a bunch of AEW stuff going on. I like to, you know, I'll do some comments during certain shows. It's a lot of fun. I'm easy to interact with. So you guys want to hit me up on Twitter, you guys can. And until then, guys, until next week, hopefully next week, I will see you guys then. Have a good one.